We thank Thee for Thy gracious promise to meet us in this place. And we pray now that we may be so open to the moving of Thy Holy Spirit, that that which Thou wouldst desire us to see, we shall be enabled to see, that we shall be lifted from those things which bind us forever to this earth, to see the visions of eternity. We thank Thee from the depths of our hearts for the beauty that surrounds us, for the goodness of this day, but most of all for the eternal promises that Thou art working in Thy world to recreate it, make it new and afresh. May Thy Spirit come to us to fill our minds with sacred, with eternal truth, and to fill our hearts with sacred fire. We pray in the name of Him whom we love and serve, even Jesus Christ, Thy Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I suppose almost 2 years ago now, Dr. Smith and I went out to Midwestern for a bivocational conference called by Dr. J.T. Burdine. From time to time, a man, by reason of his hard work and opportunities, has had the privilege of climbing a mountain from which he can view certain things with a perspective that is not open to the rest of us. And then we'll have the privilege of having that one to come and tell us what he sees from where he is. Dr. J.T. Burdine knows more and understands more about the business of bivocational ministry than any man, certainly in our denomination, and most likely any man at all. Well, I don't know what your idea of bivocation is. Last evening, when Dr. Burdine was at our home for a brief while and we were sharing a meal and some fellowship together, my daughter, who works for the prison department in North Carolina, was there. And she was asking, what does he do? And I said, well, he's an expert in bivocational ministry. And she said, what's bivocational ministry? And I said, well, that's where a fellow is not paid full-time by the church. And a light dawned in above her head, and she said, oh, do you mean that is where a preacher also works for a living? And that may be what that is. But there are those who think that we are moving into an era now where we must give more careful and serious consideration to the business of working for a living while we are serving as a professional minister. We are honored to have Dr. Burdine with us today. Some things of a personal nature about him was he was born in Cleveland, Ohio, but he left there before he was 5 years old, so I presume he was not contaminated overly much. Went to St. Petersburg, Florida, and I don't know if that's a lot better, but he grew up there down in the southern part of the southeastern United States, by the way, where all of you almost want to work. Graduated from Stetson University from Southern Seminary. He can be forgiven for that, because when he graduated from Southern Seminary, Southeastern Seminary did not yet exist. He has served at churches in Florida, Huntsville, Alabama, and Kentucky, 17 years. Fairbanks, Alaska, the pastor of the University Baptist Church there. He has worked in northwestern Minnesota as director of missions from the Northern Plains. He's done just a whole lot of things. That's what I think has enabled him to climb the mountain. He went to work for the Home Mission Board as associate director of rural, urban missions. Now he is serving as the national consultant for bivocational ministries. After the choir brings us the anthem of the morning, Dr. Burdine will come and bring us the message.
I would be remiss if I did not say I appreciate very, very much being here today, because I do. Dr. Dorman said to remind you that I'm in Appleby today and tomorrow in the conference room by the small chapel over there. If you want to come by, come by. Coming over today, Dr. Dorman said there's one thing about chapel this morning. He said you'll be speaking to a lot of lumber. I'm not sure whether he was thinking about some of you with wooden heads or he was thinking about the wooden pews. But since Jack Burnett is here and Gerald Garris is here, at least he told me he was coming, two who worked with me when I served as director of missions in North Dakota, Northwestern Montana, and Northeastern Montana, Northwestern Minnesota. Knowing those two, I'll take the rest of you on faith. They're not wooden headed. And let's move ahead in our worship, because that is what we're here for. Now, one of the things that I was told as a stricture here in chapel is that this is devotional time, it's not promotional time, and I think he was afraid I might promote it so that all of you would become working preachers rather than whatever else. Seriously, and I'm using his daughter's terminology here, because we think of it as one call, two vocations, one ministry. And I'll be glad to talk with you about that concept, either in the classes that I'll be with or as we have conferences together. If you have your Bibles, and that may be an assumption in the seminary, but I'm going to make that assumption because I know chapel, I think, is about like it used to be when I was in Southern Seminary. Attendance is, it's not compulsory. And I know how students like to cut chapel. Well, I didn't say that. If you have your Bibles, turn to the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, verse 5. Luke is writing concerning Paul, so the churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia, the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. If I were to choose a text, it would be the ninth verse, the famous words, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And my theme for the moments this morning are, where is your horizon? It's a question. Where is your horizon? May we pray. In these brief moments of meditation, our Father, lead us by thy Holy Spirit, that we may enlarge our vision just a bit of that which it is possible for us to do for thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Dr. Dorman and I did not collaborate on his introduction beyond the facts of it. He spoke of a mountaintop, and it's interesting that I want to start with a mountain experience. Every June, when I served for 7 years as the pastor of the University Baptist Church in Fairbanks, Alaska, next to the campus of the University of Alaska, some of my men and I would go down to Chitna, Alaska, on the Copper River salmon fishing. I remember going down that road, perhaps for the first time, and you turn off the road to Valdez, and it's a gravel road, and you go right down between the mountains in what's known as the Switzerland area of Alaska. And there in a certain place you find yourself with a mountain on one side and a mountain on the other side. And hardly does the sun come down between them. There's only room for the road and only room for the stream that flows there. It seems as though at creation time God the Father had given some sort of divine karate chop that had split the rocks, and there it is. And you're hemmed in on both sides, and you can see but a quarter mile in front on the twisting road and no more than a quarter mile behind. You're boxed in the mountains without much of an horizon. But I remember going on down to Chittenden, down to the shores of the Copper River, where you get out of the mountains, but you have the high hills and banks on either side of that wild and untamed river. And I remember one day as we were there to get a better view, we climbed to the top of the hill and we looked over, and where we could see very little in that boxed-in canyon, suddenly our horizons were widened and we could see across the river, and we could see across some of the prairie area. We could see other hills, and in the distance we could see other mountain peaks. Our horizons were enlarged. No longer were they limited and narrow as they had been, but we could see other parts of that beautiful area of that great state. Have you ever stopped to realize that it was the expanding horizons that brought the gospel to more and more people throughout the world? The Bible says at first it was Jerusalem and then Judea. And then it was Samaria, and then only then was it the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, as I read this chapter here, the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, personally, I rather doubt that Paul ever planned to get to Troas as soon as he did. He wanted to get to a lot of other places. But God was lifting his horizons. I doubt that Macedonia was a part of his horizon even when he got to the Holiday Inn in Troas or whatever the chain was back in that day. And I'm rather sure that some of his party were trying to book passage on boats back home. They weren't sure they wanted to go into Europe. That was a place they had never been. That was a place they had not thought about going. That is, until breakfast, when Paul came down after that vision in the night. And they knew they weren't going back home. They knew they were going someplace they hadn't planned to go, someplace they had never been. And Paul told them, he said, "We're going to Macedonia. I saw the vision. I saw the vision." They were impelled to go to Macedonia. God called and they had to answer yes. I've said all that to ask, what are the limits of your personal horizon for the years of your ministry? As you have come here from whatever is home, and as you're planning whatever your future may be when you have finished with this school here, or when this school is finished with you here, whatever the case may be, let's see if we can test horizons for a moment or two. First question, can you see no further than returning home to the home county, the home area? May I hasten to say there are those who have that call, and the home base does need pastors. But may I say, have you thought beyond home at all? Because I have known so many students who hardly think about anything except finishing school and going back home or near home. Have you even considered the other side of your home state? Second question, can you see the nation in which we live? We need to cover this nation with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. From Kotzebue in Alaska to Key West in Florida, and Caribou in Maine, to the island of Kauai and beyond in Hawaii, and points in between. There's a valid ministry in Dickinson, North Dakota, where Jack Burnett served. There's a valid ministry in Fortuna, North Dakota, where Gerald Garris served. Gerald was out of Plum Nelly. He was 12 miles east of the Montana line, 5 miles south of the Canadian line. He was plumb out of town and Nelly out of the country. But there's a witness there, because there are people there. In some of those places today, there is a need for bivocational pastors. But can you see the nation, I repeat, in which we live? Could it be the other side of your home state? Could it be the other side of the lower 48? As Alaskans love to say, the smaller states with the larger cities. Or could it be in the Great Land? Or could it be in Hawaii? Or could it be in the new work we have in Samoa? Where would God have you to be? The fields are more than white unto harvest, but let me hasten to say the harvest is not easy. As I was over at breakfast today, one of the young ladies was telling me of spending a summer in summer mission work in the state of Utah, and she said, "It's hard out there," and it is. God didn't promise much that's easy. He just promised things that are worthwhile. Third question, can you see beyond our nation to the world? Dr. M. Thurin Rankin used to be the executive secretary of our Foreign Mission Board ahead of Dr. Baker James Coffin. I remember him saying time and time again, no person should stay at home unless he is sure God does not want him overseas. Do you have that assurance? For God has given us a world to win. He's challenged us with what we call bold mission thrust to see that every person hears the word before the end of this century. But on the other hand, will spreading materialism and a resurging Islam all but put out the life of Christ in our world? And may I say the answer, I think, is in the horizons that we have. Dr. Dorman said I did not have the privilege of attending this seminary. I had a better privilege. The founding president of this seminary, Dr. S.L. Staley, was my major professor in my graduate work when he was on the faculty at Southern Seminary. And I'm reminded as I think about his experiences of something else that's crossed my ken lately. I always look for cheap books in the bookstore. You know, after they mark them down, that's when I buy them. I found one the other day at the Georgia Baptist Convention in Atlanta. Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer's The Cost of Discipleship. I'd heard about it for years, but I just got around to being able to afford to buy it. I read a little bit of it. He talks about cheap grace, and he talks about costly grace, and some of you are ahead of me in reading it. May I say, Dr. Staley knew what it was to know the costly call, because to follow in the ministry as he followed, I know personally, having been his fellow, and he having been my friend as a student, he paid a price few people knew about to be a minister of the gospel among Southern Baptists. It was a terrible price. It was a costly call. It wasn't a cheap call. But I remember him quoting frequently to us in those church history classes the life or a quotation from one of the Wesleys. And that expensive, costly quotation was, "The world is my parish." How big is yours today? Wesley could have stayed in a small community in England, but God expanded his horizons. May I lift yours a bit? Beyond the place from which you have come to the state of which you are a part, may I lift them a bit to the nation that is ours and to the world that is ours? People are there who need the gospel. Let me wrap it up with one more story. We're opening a mission that is now the North Star Baptist Church near Clear Air Force Site in Alaska. It was a mission of University Church. I was told that there was a new couple in town. The woman was a Baptist. I went over and knocked on her mobile home door. She came to the door. I said, "I'm J.T. Burdine, pastor, University Baptist Church in Fairbanks. We have a mission we're beginning here. Our services are at..." And I saw a look of amazement and surprise on her face. She did not expect Southern Baptists to be in the wilderness of Alaska. She at that time had a preschool child that we then called a beginner. She had gotten from her home church every beginner quarterly that she could possibly get as far in advance and for some time back so that she would have a basis to train her daughter in the things of the Word of God in that remote place in Alaska. And I said to her, "But we have a class at the mission for your child." And her face lit up as though a great spotlight had hit it, but the light was not from the outside. It was an inner glow and an inner thankfulness, because she found something like she had known where she could train her daughter in the things of God. Need I say that she became active in the work there and was a great blessing in the work there? Because we were there, and somebody had expanded my horizons, and somebody had expanded a few other horizons, and we were there with the gospel. bivocationally and otherwise, there are legions of opportunities today. Could the expanding of your horizons include a bivocational challenge? Could the expanding of your horizons include such a child as I have mentioned? Could your expanding horizons include a child if skin color and language were different? Let me ask you today to be willing to face God with the horizons of your plans for your ministry. See what God would really have them to be. You see, the call comes back today. It's the call of the multi-faced modern Macedonian. Come over into my Macedonia and help me. Yes, that old song's true. That old song's true, brown and yellow, black and white. All are still precious in His sight. Lift our horizons a bit, our Father, we pray this day that we may see the world as our field and under the leadership of Thy Holy Spirit find our place in that field. When we've been trained here, in Jesus' name and for His sake, amen.